In the early 40s, Charlie Walsh ran a steam-powered sawmill near Park Rapids. World War II had caused a burst of demand for wood, and the jack pine forests were busy with loggers. At the mill, Charlie was struggling to keep up.
Somehow or another, his arm got caught in one of the belts, and jerked his arm off. Kind of gruesome.
It was the sort of accident, says his son Dick Walsh, that often befell sawmill operators in those days. More remarkable was his father's reaction to it. He quit sawmilling and started logging, not exactly a retreat from hard labor.
I never knew my dad when he had two arms, but I never visioned him as being crippled. He could swing an axe and he could throw pulpwood and he could do almost anything with that one arm that he had.
Dick followed his father into the logging trade. Now two of Dick's four sons work with him and are taking over the business. In their office in the rolling forest land of Hubbard County hang old photographs of lumber camps where Charlie worked, of horse-drawn sleds stacked high with logs. The men in the pictures look tough and proud of their work. Dick Walsh would fit right in.
When we started out, we had a small John Deere crawler with a knuckle boom loader on it and a trailer we probably carried about, a cord and a half of wood out of the woods with that at a time. At that time, it was a lot simpler. It was just a lot of hard work, and you didn't get rich at it. You just made a living, and you kept the wolf away from the door. In this day and age, it's much more complicated. You know, we have a lot more government controls, a lot of people looking over our shoulder.
Walsh, now serving a two-year term as president of the Minnesota Timber Producers Association, lists things his father never had to deal with. Like activists going in on a site and chaining themselves to trees, or more commonly, rules mandating wooded buffer strips beside roads and streams. While environmental regulations have forced more care and efficiency in the field, Walsh is a little touchy about the image of loggers he says has been perpetuated. He says in movies and on TV news, loggers are the rapacious industrialists, forever killing what others want to hug.
I have a niece that, of course, was born and raised in St. Paul and thinks logging is terrible. That's not unusual. They know what they have seen on television, just sound bites and this type of thing. You know, pictures of clear cuts in the mountains. They're not going to stop using wood. They just don't want it to be harvested in their backyard.
A few miles north, Robin Walsh, Dick's son, is preparing to thin a stand of jack pine. A Ponzi harvester warms up at Forest Edge. The Ponzi resembles a road grader, except with wide, distended tires and a long robotic arm instead of a blade. Robin's 26. He loves his work.
My dad's been in it his whole life, and I grew up around it. I remember he used to take us along, me and my brother, and if he knew he was going to get stuck, he'd take us along and push him with his little cat. So, you know, we've been running equipment, you know, since we've been 6, 7 years old.
Robin Walsh represents both the advances made in logging and the challenges the industry faces. Yes, the Ponzi is a high-tech marvel. It's safe, clean, quiet, and engineered so carefully it puts less weight per inch on the ground than a man walking. On the other hand, the Walshes make payments on this $400,000 machine because, Robin says, regulations and tightening profit margins make it almost necessary to have the latest and the best.
You can run these machines when it's wet. It doesn't rut the ground up. You can run on the tops of the trees that you cut, so you're running on slash, so you're not compacting the soil, and that's a big deal anymore. If you're on a state job or a county job, if you're cutting ruts more than 6 inches, they can come and shut you down. Some of the regulations are kind of foolish. But sit right there.
The cab of the Ponzi is roomy, with a swivel seat, shatterproof glass, and dashboard lit by sundry electronics. If Luke Skywalker were a logger, he'd have one of these.
Everything in here is computerized. All the buttons, keeps track of all the wood I cut. There's actually a paper printout that will print out what you process each day by species and length and everything, so.
Robin steers into the woods, a fairly young stand of jack pine on state land. The Ponzi's hydraulic arm reaches 30 feet in any direction. It slices trees off at the base, trims away branches, and cuts the logs to any length you want. All this as fast as slicing bologna in your kitchen.
what I try to do is leave all the nicer, bigger trees, and I take the small stuff out, the littler stuff, the crooked stuff. Basically, when I'm done in here, it should look like a park.
The jack pine are destined for a stud mill in Bemidji. The leftover slash will be chipped and sold for paper pulp. Robin can cut and limb 60 cords of wood in one day, as much as his dad used to cut in 3 months with a chainsaw. Even so, Robin believes political and economic pressures may get in the way of his own son someday running the business. In recent years, state and federal governments have reduced the timber they're putting up for sale. Loggers now buy many more trees from private landowners and at much higher cost. New equipment makes the job safe and efficient, but is prohibitively expensive. In the 1990s, the Walshes say, logging is still a tough business, as tough in some ways as when it was one guy with one arm out in the woods by himself. Leif Enger, Minnesota Public Radio.